Strap in, youngins.
Getting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Headlines brought to you by ATL. Live well. Don't just live. Live well. Man, the Braves, they took 2 out of 3. It was pretty electric. Max Fried against Skeens on Saturday, but take 2 out of 3 from the Pirates. Unfortunately, still 8 back from Philadelphia, Carl, in the NL East. Here's Snicker saying the frustrating part is just can't get the offense, you know, every day together.
Feeling good about today, and you know, didn't happen. We're going to come out here Tuesday and get her going again. Yeah, that's the frustrating part because you know what the guys are capable of, and just can't quite put it together for an extended period where it just flows. You know, that's the hard part.
Yeah, man, that was a bit frustrating yesterday because, you know, the Pirates, look, they've got a nice young pitching staff, and there's so many impressive players. You just feel bad for Pirates fans, Carlos. You know they're not going to be able to keep them together for more than 3 or 4 years, but that's a ball club that's on the way up.
Skeens is special, man. I mean, you see it. We saw it with our guy, right, and Spencer Strider, where you just go, ooh, like there's something different about him. He gave up 1 run in 6 innings. You know, the Kelnick home run, Turtle, Kelnick home run to open the game. You know, you go, all right, he got to him, but that was Saturday. And to your point about Sunday, like the 4-2 loss, they had a 4-run fifth inning. I just, to Snit's point, like I do feel better about the team. But there is still something like it's not full steam ahead yet. You know what I mean? I mean, I still don't feel like we played our best baseball, Mike. Like, we haven't hit our stride like maybe the Phillies where you just get a sense, hey, they're rolling like we were last year. They're going to be a tough out. I don't know if we've gotten to that point. There have been great outings by Fried or Morton, who gave up 3 hits and 6 1/3 on Friday. Mm-hmm. There have been Ozuna, who's balling and drove in 3 on Friday. You know, he continues to do what he does. But, like, I'm looking at the numbers just this morning, and I'm going to myself, wait a minute. Riley has 9 home runs?
Right.
Austin Riley?
Yeah, man. At one point, it was just 3 before he went on that tear a few weeks ago against the Yankees. You think about just, you know, this team. It just one sort of feels like 1 step forward, 2 steps back.
Yes.
One thing is working. You know, top of the lineup, Kelnick is definitely providing.
Did you say Kelnick?
I said Kelnick. Here's what it sounded like when he took Skeens deep.
Kelnick turns on this and sends it to the chop house. Greeting Paul Skeens pretty rudely. It's 1-0 Atlanta.
Yeah, man, 100-mile-an-hour stuff went out like more than 100 miles out there to right field. But the problem was yesterday, Carl, Schwellenbach, and I mentioned this to Andy Rende on the handoff, the Braves in the 6 games that Schwellenbach's pitched, they're 1-5. So, you know, whether it's 6-man or 5.5-man, it just doesn't fly. Here's Snicker talking about Schwellenbach, and he's still learning on the job.
You know, he's learning on the job is what he's doing. And he's a bright kid and good feel and good baseball sense, and it'll serve him well going forward. It's hard right now when you go through it, but it'll be, you know, he'll learn from it and get better by it.
So now we're taking on the Giants, and then it'll be the Phillies, and that'll be huge coming around after the 4th of July weekend. It's going to be a big one. One thing was for certain, I mentioned those young stars and the Pirates. We've seen O'Neill Cruz hit some tape measure shots. He's hit them into the river up there in Pittsburgh. That dude is something, man. He hit a moonshot over the chop house.
Yeah, to your point about some of the things that they own or at least possess right now, you wonder if they'll be able to continue to you know, have those guys around for the long haul. It's what happened with the Orioles, right? They drafted well. All of a sudden the Orioles got good, and obviously they got new management or new ownership, and that helps. But I look at the Pirates that way, Mike. They've done a really good job. They've built some pieces. The thing is, can they continue to do that and have those guys? But, yeah, man, he's a dude, too. They probably have about 3 dudes that we need to continue to watch and are going to continue to develop over the next few years.
And like you said, if you're a Pirates fan, you just hope you can maybe sniff the wild card this year before it all does fall apart on you. Zachary Risache, we spoke with him on Thursday. Then he was over at the Emory training facility
rounds. Let me ask you, what'd you think?
He's a likable kid. You know, he's working on his English. But he talked about his work ethic, talked about loving Kevin Durant as a kid. You know, Kristen had a nice conversation with Thursdays, we're getting ready for the America match with the Panama that day down there at Hudson Grill. But yeah, man, he knows he's got some things he's got to work on, but also he takes pride in his defense, which I thought was interesting. Takes pride in continuing to work on his jump shooting. So, you know, and here's a soundbite from when he was talking to the media at Hawks, saying doesn't feel the pressure of being that top pick.
I feel like there is no pressure. I just realize my dream, and I need like. I just focus on the good stuff, you know, on the right stuff, which is playing here, And so I'm just excited to be a Hawks right now, and I want to compete and win games. So that's all that, you know, that's all that matters right now.
So you got a guy, Carl. Again, if he continues to improve with shooting, he'll get to, you get to see what he can do. July 12th in Las Vegas Summer League. Ironically, they'll be taking on Alex Saar, who didn't want to – well, somebody in his group didn't want to be here, but taking on the Wizards, Carl, out in Vegas in Summer League.
Yeah, and I can't wait. I mean, listen, I know it's Summer League, but you're still out there trying to prove yourself and trying to, you know, show people what you've got. It's funny because, you know, Dirk really beget Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant hopefully begets a guy like Richa Shea. I think, Mike, big guys at 6'9", 6'10", now, they aspire to do the things that Kevin Durant can do. And by the way, you're not blocking his shot. He's one of the best shooters of all time. Like, if you can be that or become close to that, then we got the right guy. But Ben Hill Trill tweeted at us at Mike Bell ATL and put him up C Dukes and basically was talking about, you know, our conversation to start the show. And he says, I don't care about splash. This team is more balanced. Here's what I care about. You need guys that can make plays. And then he goes into this whole rant about how good Daniels is defensively. I've heard this before. I need to see it, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about what these guys – he's 21. If he's locked down and you said if he's Gary Payton, then so be it. I'll get on board. But I've heard this before. We said this about DeJounte when he got here.
Right.
The defense didn't get any better. So Ben, Hill, Trill, it's about playmakers. And when I say splash, the rest of the country is wondering what the hell we're doing. That's why you need splash. It doesn't matter to us. We're going to watch the team regardless. Mm. But everybody else around the country is like, eh.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't trust him to have him on the floor against Oklahoma City. He averaged about 26 minutes this season. He's had some steals. Averaged 1.4 the last month of the season. So, I mean, it's, again, look, this cat, I told him, I don't know if it's a burner account for Wrestler's Kid or something, but yeah, he's seen the brilliance in Landry Fields' his moves. Speaking of Landry Fields, what are you looking for in free agency there, GM?
You know, address some of it in the draft, like size and some defensive stuff that we wanted to shore up, and always welcome shooting to the group. So defense and shooting will work well here.
And then, Carl, I talked about A.J. Griffin. I thought the first year here he had some stuff, and then it just seemed like it went off the rails for him, either off the court or whatever the disconnect was with Quinn Snyder.
Yeah, he went to the G League after he got hurt. They were rehabbing him, basically. He got a couple of starts. Actually, Mike, he was playing well there. And then, remember, I think he sprained an ankle or something. He got hurt in the G League. Mm. And then once he made his way back to the Hawks late in the season, he wasn't getting any, we call it, burn. He wasn't getting any run.
No.
He wasn't getting any minutes. And then, you know, when it got down to the end of the season where, you know, you're playing basically, you know, you're seeding, you're putting him in there. I just felt like whatever happened internally, he was done way, way long time ago.
And here is Landry Fields on just whatever happened and making the move with AJ.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy decision. AJ's a good player. I think it's just our evaluation over the past year and projecting out into the future. We had to make a tough decision. Through the draft process, we learned more and more about guys. And you know, with Nikola, we felt like this is a nice player and just able to kind of shift into a different type. You know, it worked out well for us. And I know talking with AJ and his agency after that, like they were happy too. Like,
yeah, there you go. So he goes to a better place, Carl, Houston. With Ime Udoka, which actually is a better place.
Well, listen, and they're on the come. I mean, that's a team that is coming up. I do agree with that. I mean, he'll get a better opportunity there, and I wish him nothing but the best. But that's the crazy thing. We keep talking about shooting and needing shooting. You drafted a kid that can shoot, and then you didn't play him. Like, this is part of it. And whether it was Quinn Snyder or something else that was going on, it's still about results, Mike. And at the end of the day, we didn't get the results from A.J. Griffin that we thought we would get. So now as we start to make these moves with Landry Fields and Quinn Snyder is telling us, hey, this is how I'm going to mold this team, now this stuff starts to really fall on their shoulders. I couldn't blame Quinn Snyder for coming in here for 20 games. But after a season plus 20 games and now going into another season and you're rebuilding this team in the way that you want and you're molding it the way that you want, now all of this is on you.
One last headline for you, Carl, before we catch a break, and I'll set up the phones for our conversation with our audience about the Hawks. Unbelievable finish to Atlanta United's win over Toronto. It was 1-1. Looked like the Toronto goalkeeper was like, all right, take your time. Everybody run down there. I'm just going to put the ball in. Wait a minute. What happened? Here's what it sounded like on 92.9 The Game.
TRA couldn't get to it. The defender, who was draped all over him, got a touch.
Here's a steal off TRA. He'll turn to jump score. He scores. An unbelievable.
He literally sneaks behind the goalkeeper. He takes a drink of water. Goalkeeper is totally oblivious. Nobody, I watched the video twice, Carl. Only one Toronto player is pointing, and the goalkeeper doesn't see it quick enough. And literally, the okie doke to win the game.
One of already up for the play of the year. I mean, seriously. Like, that was brilliant. And then the execution, Mike. It's one thing to lay it down. He still had to make the goal. Crazy.
Man, so the good news is they may eventually finally get moving with Almada. There's still no confirmation from the team. A lot of guys around the world reporting $21 million will be the transfer. More than what we got from Miggy to Newcastle. They also signed a dude named Pedro Amador, Portuguese defender. More on that later in the show.